Lord, change us day by day by the work of your Holy Spirit, so that we may grow more like your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
L'chaim.
L'chaim. L'chaim.
Happy birthday.
Mike Kaplan is here.
Hello.
Thank you for recognizing.
Word.
I appreciate it. I'm sorry.
Whose birthday is it?
I guess mine.
Really?
He said it.
The closest.
All right. Is that how we're playing it?
When's your birthday?
December.
Yeah, so...
Mine's the closest in reverse.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
See? So we get time travel. Thank you, buddy.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Speaking of religion, before the show, me and Mike Kaplan had a religious discussion, and Mike Kaplan doesn't really believe in Jesus Christ, and I explained it to him, and now he's a Catholic.
I'm on board.
So my point is, never give up, people. Never give up preaching. You will be able to convince people your way is the right way. Never quit. Subway, bar, anywhere.
On a date?
On a date.
A first date, especially.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put it in your profile, though.
No.
No, people, trick them.
People like to be surprised.
Right. Right, surprise, not tricks.
What happy surprise about? Birthday. It's Jesus.
Well, welcome, everybody. How have you been?
I have been well. I just got back from the Carolinas.
Oh.
North and south.
Which one you like better?
North. Mm. Definitely. And also south, if you're listening. For a couple of reasons. There was somebody from a fan of the show came out to both the shows that I had in South Carolina with I was there with Micah Sherman and the Altcom Festival, which the Alternative Comedy Festival from Boston on the road down there. And this woman, Jackie, she goes by Jovial Jackie on Twitter. Mm. At least that's where I know her from, and Facebook. She came out the first night, and then the next night she was like, "Hey, are you gonna do the same thing?" And we were like, probably similar, but we'll change it a little for you. And she came back, and we did, and she was happy.
She could send an email and warn you or something.
Oh no, she did. She said she wrote to me on Facebook the next day. She said, "Is it going to be the same tonight?" And and I did stand up and Mike, and I did some songs. And I was like, "We'll do like a different song or two, and I will switch up the stand up to make it."
Well, did you email her back saying, "Did you pay a different amount of money this time?"
I did not, but now, hey, take that in reverse. Time travel. Everything that you need to do requires backwardsness.
Did you hear this thing about Nancy Kerrigan, by the way?
That she has big teeth and got hit in the leg?
You heard about this?
Yes. You're way behind.
I'm finally catching up on papers.
He's really counting on this time machine I have.
Hey, you hear that thing about the moon? We went there?
I don't believe that one bit.
Well, Nancy Kerrigan, yeah, of course, she was hitting the leg and couldn't figure skate. Who was that other one? Who was that trashy one?
Tanya Harding.
Tanya Harding hired somebody to bust her leg. And then she couldn't compete in the Olympics.
Oh, hey, is it too late to make a figures?
It's never too late. Yeah. Not for a gem like that.
Time machine, and we can go back, and you never have to.
So anyway, it turns out the Kerrigan family's kind of trash too, I guess. The son, the brother, Nancy's brother, ended up killing their father over a fight over phone use in their house. The dad's like the
oh my God, what white trash, they still have a landline?
The son's 45 years old.
Lives with the dad.
Yeah, lives with the dad. The dad is at least 70 years old, or was.
And he stopped at that. He's definitely not at least anymore.
Right. Yeah. He's at least nothing. He's at least 5 feet under. So they had some kind of argument. He ended up putting his hands around the dad's throat. I don't know how rough he was with the dad, but you're over 70. And the dad had a heart attack and died.
Oh, so it wasn't strangled. He wasn't.
It could have been, right. It could have been that. Like,
it's hard to strangle somebody to death. You have to be committed and crazy, I think. You know, you have to be committed
or crazy.
I think you have to be crazy to strangle somebody to death.
Sure.
I think you really have to be crazy because you watch that person die slowly. It's not just, gunshot, oops, I pulled the trigger, your head's messed up for a second, but choking, you're watching that thing.
Ken does a choker from way back.
Oh, my goodness. Huh?
Unless you're blind, then you're not watching. You're just, it's by feel.
Well, he's being indicted, of course. But yeah, both those families were messes. The Hardings and the Kerrigans.
Ice skating seems like such a hoity-toity.
Dainty, elegant. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't see like a trailer, like, okay, we're going to get up every morning, and one of these days, figure skating's going to be your escape from here.
Exactly. That's more hockey, let's say. I mean, still on ice, but takes a little bit more money, takes a little bit more
We got to start looking into these girl sports. Figure skating, golf. A lot of shit's going on. You're bored shitless, but behind the scenes, things are happening.
Just read the rag magazines from those sports.
Oh, yeah. Have you heard about Tiger Woods? He's apparently the best player in the world, and he's black in a predominantly non-black sport.
We were talking about the time machine. Sean from Alberta is talking for you, and he says that you say, time travel, it's so next year.
That's the thing that I tweeted later.
And then here's another story of murder. It's not uncommon, this happened in Colorado, for a teenager to go to extreme measures to avoid having to do chores. Television and the internet are far more appealing than taking out the trash and loading the dishwasher. Now, like I already told you, this is a story about murder. So this is a cute little beginning. Kids do not like work. I'll grant you that.
I have a 350 word count for my editor.
Nonetheless, most kids slog through it, if only for the sake of getting their parents off their backs. That, however, was not the case with a Colorado teen who police say fatally shot his mother and stepfather to get out of doing his household duties.
I told you to take that gun out to the trash.
If I have to tell you one more time, the 14-year-old boy, John Cottle, has been charged as an adult with two counts of murder. When do you get charged as an adult? Are you an adult or not an adult?
When it's serious.
Yeah, this is business. He has been charged with an adult with two counts of murder as an adult. He's being held at a youth center and is due in court next week. The case began in late October when Park County deputies stopped a pickup truck in Fairplay. The driver, Cottle, was too young to drive, so police attempted to find his parents, who he said lived about 130 miles away near the city of Monte Vista. The boy said he was going to visit his uncle. So he said, when you're young, you say, like, where are your parents at? I know I killed them, but my parents live.
They lived, he said. My parents lived miles away.
Well, I was asked. I know there's this kid, James Skinner, in school, and he would make fun of me, and I wasn't clever enough to make fun of him back, so I started punching him and kicking him.
Man, I never thought of that.
Yeah, it's much easier.
Other people thought of that for you.
Yeah, they would make fun of me, and then instead of me punching them, they would punch me.
That doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
So
they got a twofer.
He was a little wittier and more clever, and so I had to keep punching him. And so he called my house one time, and I answered the phone. He said, put your parents on. And I went, no, I don't want to. And I hung up the phone, and he called back, and he said, put your parents on. I'm like, okay. I guess I have to.
You cracked my secret code.
Right.
The riddles too.
When the patrol officer contacted authorities near the boy's home, he was told that police were already at the house, which was being treated as a crime scene. Earlier that day, a relative had found the bodies of the boy's mother and stepfather, 34 years old and 38 years old, on the bedroom floor. According to the arrest affidavit, Cottle told police that he had an argument with his mother at the home on October 26th. Afterward, he allegedly took two 22 caliber pistols, two, from a gun safe and shot her dead with one of them. He then hid in a laundry room and allegedly shot the stepfather when he walked by.
Oof.
That kid's going to grow up to be Two-Face because it was two 22 caliber guns.
Cottle said the reason he shot the mom was because he did not want to do household chores. After the shootings, police say, Cottle spent the rest of the day watching movies and playing on a computer. The next morning, he took his stepfather's truck and drove to school. When questioned, Cottle's teachers told investigators he seemed happy that day.
Wow.
That kid did not have a lot of forethought, because when you kill people, like, you're going to have to clean it up eventually if he was going to keep living there. That's a household chore right there. Blood getting out of carpet? That's way worse than emptying a dishwasher.
He's scrubbing. Mom, you got me again, you bitch.
Irony.
I ought to kill you.
I know I'm being obvious. Obviously, the boy is psychotic.
Right.
Doesn't it make you feel like those parents did something to him?
Like, maybe it's molestation. He's just saying it's chores. Maybe.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
He didn't want to do the household chores of
sucking dead stick.
Yeah.
Right.
For you to kill your mom and then just go about your day and go to school and be smiling and stuff.
Well,
that's
the teacher feels kind of weird. Like, finally, you're smiling. Whatever you did today, you do that every day, every chance you get.
I just think he's good at compartmentalizing. You know what I mean? That's some people can do that.
Cotto was represented by two public defenders who could not be reached for comment today because they could give a shit.
He actually killed them as well.
Right. Yeah.
They were like, can you just clean up this story a little bit? He's like, I'm not cleaning anything.
Oh, man. 14.
Yeah.
What were the chores? What did the kids say the chores were? I'm curious. Like my dad, I can understand this. My dad would make us dust everything, and everything was very systematic. You had to dust he was the king of dusting. You had to start at one corner of the room, work your way around, son. I've said this many times. You work your way around the room and work your way in so you don't miss anything. And he was the king of vacuuming. Slow on the back. Slow, slow, slow on the backstroke.
He had two kingdoms.
He was. He really was. King of two castles.
Well, this kid was 14. You're 13. You're a man in Judaism in days of old. So he was a...
Well, he's being tried as one.
Tried as a Jewish adult.
Is this a Jewish...
I guess there'll be a Jewish court.
Yeah. Ugh. I get it. I mean, if you had a dishwasher, we had a dishwasher, and we still had to do the dishes by hand.
Why?
Before you put them in the dishwasher, or just you didn't use it?
You didn't use it.
Oh, because it ran a lot of water, and you have to pay for water?
Yeah. No. We had our own well. We didn't pay for water. I guess you pay for electricity, but come on, just let us use the dishwasher.
So yeah, that doesn't make sense.
We'd wait until, you know, they went out to do some errand, and we quickly did it. To the dishwasher.
Then you have to be able to tell.
Sneaking around. Kids sneaking around using the dishwasher.
To the dishes. That was...
They come home early. You're like, uh-oh. It's not what it looks like.
They'll come up the driveway. We quickly open the dishwasher. Somebody's putting away. Another one's fanning the smoke.
Fanning the smoke from the dishwasher.
Yeah.
They come in. Are you guys smoking pot? Not quite. Yeah.
They knew. Looking back. Would you not say they knew?
That was ingenious parenting, because right? They're like, let's ban them from using the dishwasher, not ban them from like drinking and smoking. And we're going to really focus on the dishwasher, and they're going to be like, Mom and Dad are out. Let's do it.
You do what you're not allowed to do.
Hey, also, don't paint this fence, Tom Sawyer. Don't.
That's pretty smart of them looking back. I think they had to know because the dishes were clean when they went away. And if they are watching over us or in the next room, and we really did them by hand, they weren't as clean.
Mm.
So they had to know that.
Still, that steam does not go away very quickly.
How did you get in the, you know, cracks of everything, or, you know, plastic's so hard to clean? There's always grease sticks on it. Well, I don't know. I tried harder today.
I say they went out on purpose.
Yeah.
That was your little ice cream treat for the day.
You know what? Let them have the dishwasher today. It's their birthday.
It's so cute. Coupled with the fact that he said, no, the water came from the well. What are you guys talking about?
Yeah, they just, anytime they needed the dishes to actually be done well, they're like, we got to make up a place to go. We got to get out of here.
Yeah.
They tricked me.
Mm-hmm.
They tricked me. We would have to use, we can only take baths, I think, after, I must say, 7 or 8 p.m. From 7 to 7,
that's when 7 a.m. It's like the cell phone minutes. Because
exactly.
You know, daytime bath minutes are expensive.
And it was supposed to be more cheaper. Like, we were on some plan where you save money if you only used hot water during that time. And then as an adult, we found out fairly recently that they saved literally like a nickel a year, and they're sorry.
Hey, look, a nickel a year over the course of 100 years.
No.
Is what?
$5.
Okay. I'll give him 6. There's two new reality shows are coming out. One of them's called Animal Planet's Fatal Attractions, which is about people being in love with tigers and gorillas and other dangerous animals. One lady got mauled by the love of her life, a tiger, and she still wants to find a new tiger to love. This is a show.
What's wrong with the first tiger? Did they kill it?
Maybe they
had to put it down, yeah.
Because normally, like, even if somebody abuses you, you still stick with that one.
You think.
Somebody punches you in a relationship, you don't go, like, I'm going to go find somebody else to punch me. You know
if
what I mean?
You're committed.
Yeah.
And
well, what do you mean by mauled? How bad?
I don't, it just said mauled. I just read mauled. Mm. So maybe
that's a strong word.
It's a strong word, yeah. Right?
It was just a light mauling, you know?
Well, she looks in the mirror and she's like, well, no guy's going to want me now.
Mm.
I better stick with the animal kingdom.
But I wonder why it was a tiger, right?
Yeah.
Why a tiger? You know,
I like him dangerous.
They're
like
pretty majestic.
That's a bad boy. I like bad boys.
Yeah. You got a guy on a motorcycle who kills people? Look, this is a tiger.
It's a fucking tiger I'm dating. Fuck with me. I'll bring the tiger into this bar. You should see my boyfriend. Then you got to compete with that. And then I just think it's funny, like, also, these are supposed to be your better channels. And they just realize people are pieces of shit. We want to watch shit. You know, Animal Planet. Wasn't that supposed to be for smart people? This isn't. This is for Keith Malley.
Well, Discovery Channel, that's supposed to be one of the...
Well, Discovery is different, but they're having their own. It's funny you say that. Discovery Channel is having something called Prison Wives, and you're going to follow Prison Wives.
People who are married to guys in prison?
Yeah. Yes. And then you can see how they have to deal with their lives and work the justice system.
That's way smarter than marrying a tiger, because right. yeah. the dangerous things on, like, behind bars.
So, yeah, all these, I know, like, what is it? Is it Oxygen Channel? It was Oprah's channel, and it's supposed to uplift women and shows that women are going to like. Now, every show on there, Bad Girls Club, which is the most disgusting of the real worlds. I mean, these people are fighting more than anything, more than Jersey Shore and everything.
Just based on the commercials, they found some of the trashiest women with slight access to some money, and they just... And what's funny is on the commercial, they'll show clips of them overturning tables, of them really pulling by the hair and throwing a girl.
Right.
And then the you know that end part where they go, Bad Girls Club at 8 p.m., mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Then it's them all posing like, titties out, like, eh, I'm in a short skirt. And then they have that nice demeanor like, hey, I'm sexy. But right before, they showed clips of them beating the shit out of each other. I like how they straighten up for the end.
A couple movies on the ovaries didn't cut it. Now they're going to have fighting.
Well, I mean, if you look at Life, what is it?
Lifetime.
Lifetime was the most girly station for a while, and that was just all about abuse. It's just women can only relate to what? To girls hating each other and men beating them up?
Well, here's the thing. If you're a woman who's in a healthy relationship, then whatever, you can watch normal TV. You know, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be coddled with a story about a woman, you know, overcoming the guy who was mauling her, or the tiger, or whatever it was. And so, yeah, it's the kind of... Just for women who can't handle anything else. That's what it is. Lifetime.
That should be the slogan?
Yeah.
The tagline?
TV for women who really shouldn't be watching TV.
And speaking of the Jersey Shore, these people, Snooki, The Situation, Pauly D, three of the, what are there, six, seven of them?
There were eight, I think. Now there's seven.
One of them left, right?
Angela.
She couldn't show up to work. She couldn't be bothered, so she had to leave.
There was some sort of not problem in her life.
So anyway, these people are saying, I demand $10,000 a show if you want us on next year. And MTV said no.
I think, I just read, I don't know if it's the most recent thing, that MTV offered them $10,000 and they still haven't answered yet, you know.
Offered $10,000 or $5,000?
They offered $5,000 first, they said no, then they offered $10,000 and they're still in negotiate. They're still like, maybe we can get more than $10,000.
You know how the Jersey Shore people negotiated? They went, we demand $10,000 a show. And MTV went, you know what, you're worth it. $10,000 a show it is. Really? 20?
Wait, you said that too fast.
Yeah, hold on. Never mind.
But don't they look at their next door neighbor down the block, at the supermarket, everywhere they turn, and everybody's just the same color orange with the same spikes and the same workout routine? Don't they get that could be just
understand
later
that
for you?
Yeah, your seven lucky jerk-offs picked out a pool of jerk-offs.
To be fair, though, you don't know if they put a different bunch of jerk-offs in next year, then people might be like, I don't like these jerk-offs. I want the old jerk-offs. These aren't the jerk-offs. This should be the jerk-off shore. You know what I mean?
Here's what you do. You get a whole new group of jerk-offs. We start following them. Well, we're going to like them. They're going to do the exact same things. You lower the price of the original jerk-offs. You see, we don't need them.
Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, we're playing you jerk-offs the whole fucking time because we're not jerk-offs. We're pretty bright. Third season, we put all of them in a house. You now have your favorites.
Now they fight. It's a competition.
They fight. They got to fuck each other, of course. And it's going to be very exciting.
Oh, yeah. The third season, after the two different groups, they do one of those challenge ones.
That's what they did on Last Comic Standing. They had season three was season one versus season two.
There you go.
There's a precedent for it.
Well, they're bringing back for season seven this coming year.
Last Comic Standing? Seven?
Yep, there's a new... They canceled it. Like, there wasn't one last year. Maybe there... I don't know what happened, but yeah, there's a new one this year.
Did you see... I don't know if you saw this. We have a Keith and the Girl TV that McNally put together that I videotaped some people in line standing for Last Comic Standing because at some point, I don't know if it was something like the third or fourth year, Keith and I stood in line for Keith. And at a little before 5 o'clock, they said...
Starting
anybody from here?
I'm sorry. How early did we get there?
Six in the morning.
Oh yeah, you shouldn't stand in line. You shouldn't do that. Don't anybody do that. But
right.
Go on. Yeah.
Thank you. So we stood in line 6 in the morning because, you know, that's the only way we know to get in on this. At about 3:30, they said, okay, we're shutting the thing at 5. So anybody from here on, we're just not going to see you. Not come back again later. Not come back again the next day. So they knew, I mean, they were videotaping us online. They were getting all the footage online.
That's
they
what they
knew
want,
that they would close at 5. What we found out later is unless you have an appointment for the next day for the people they're taking seriously, it doesn't matter. They're just using you for shit footage, for not funny footage. So I think it was last year I saw people sitting and sleeping in line for Last Comic Standing. And I interviewed some of them, and it is pathetic. I said, you're the first, second, third, or whoever person in line. Do you think you have a chance? And they go, nope. But you're standing here. Yeah.
I just want to be on TV.
Yeah, you got to try. I'm like, but you're not trying.
But you know you won't make it.
Right.
Yeah, I won't make it. But, you know, you got to try.
Yeah.
Because I might make it, even if I don't believe it. I don't believe in myself, but somebody else might.
I mean, this was overnight, right? That was overnight.
Yeah, this was, I maybe interviewed them. It was definitely before midnight, the night before, and the audition was the next morning.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to see this Keith and the Girl TV, because it's just clips
of pathetic-ness. That sounds great.
Yeah. Doesn't that sound funny?
It sounds like a good sitcom. Somebody should go to all of them. I mean, this year they're only doing it in New York and LA, and you can also like send in stuff online. So, I mean, there are, like, I think, you know, the vast majority of people who just stand in line, you know, out of nowhere, just an open call thing, like, are obviously not going to get anywhere on it.
And
by vast majority, you mean all of them.
I know the first season in Boston, they had one in Boston, and I think the only reason that they didn't do it in Boston in the future years is because it was the middle of winter, but in Boston, you stood in line indoors, so you weren't uncomfortable outside, you just were. So they were like, oh, this isn't what we want people suffering, so let's go to only cities where people will be in the, let's check the weather forecast to make sure it's raining. And horrible wherever people are in line.
But it was in New York when we went. Yeah.
It was freezing.
But we had a great time, like just hanging out. It was a bunch of Boston comedians, and we didn't know anything about the show to begin with. So we were just all there. And this girl, Mary Beth Cowan, who was, you know, she didn't have an appointment or anything. She got picked to go to the nighttime show, and she was like featured on the first episode. And she didn't move beyond that, but she was like made to look very nice in like a 3-minute segment or something.
That's surprising. So, I guess they learned their lesson.
Oh, yeah, they don't do that anymore. They don't do that. Yeah, that's.
In fact, they take true comics sets and they rip them apart. I mean, you know, if you take out somebody's punchline, that person looks stupid with just the setup on TV.
Sometimes they have like a segment where they compile like funny, like they're like, look at these crazy people making noises.
Right.
And it could be completely in context. They're like, hey, that's a very funny person. Why is he going, you know? This guy's crazy. I mean, I was on it for 3 seconds a couple years ago. And they just cut me off, you know, 5 seconds into a joke that they had.
What did they keep of you?
They put me in a segment that was called like a list of things not to do, and this thing not to do. The thing not to do was make a joke about babies. So it was like me and this other comic, Carmen Lynch, who's Pat Dixon's girlfriend,
who's a
very funny comic, and somebody else who we all three just had a joke, you know, that had a baby in it. Mine was just about. It was about punching a baby, but it was also about patriotism. And
of course.
But I didn't get to that part. So it was just like I was on a plane punching this baby. And this guy was like, I don't like jokes about punching babies. And he was from The Sopranos. And I was like, oh, that doesn't – you're on a show about killing everybody. I wish I had thought that at the time because then maybe it would have worked. But they were just like, nope, you know. But I had – that was the second round of the audition that I had gotten to. Like I'd been, you know, called in for the morning.
Is he the comic – like there's a comic that's also on The Sopranos.
Yeah, Bobby Bacalari or – Yeah.
Bacala.
Bacala.
That fat Baklava. Fuck is so unfunny. And I bet you he punched the baby. Like this is hitting too close to home.
Oh, yeah. I don't like people reminding me about why I can't go back.
Yeah, and people will watch this and they'll think, like, that's how Mike does comedy.
Except they won't. Do you know why? Because it doesn't matter.
Then they'll forget about it.
Yeah, there's a whole splicing of nobody's gonna. Oh, who is that guy who punches babies?
Nobody's telling a helicopter joke. They're really just going brrr for 3 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes.
Hey, you're the guy that just goes brrr.
I don't get why people like you, and they give you your own Comedy Central special. You got a CD.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I mean, Dane Cook was popular for one of those jokes they stole from Louis C.K. where he did make funny sounds.
Right.
That was, so how about cut Dane Cook's thing like that, put it on Comedy Central, and then you can compare it to all these other comics.
That'd be really a really funny video to do, to like go through really established, like go through Chappelle and Chris Rock and Attell and
make it look like a last comic standing promo.
Yeah.
Things not to do.
That would be a really funny video.
They all qualify. Yeah.
Don't wear a jumpsuit. And then you show Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy and...
Yeah, don't say things that, don't use accents, you know, don't do impressions, don't...
Right.
Like, whatever the case. Yeah, just the funny sounds.
No, here's something else. If you're in the line for Last Comic Standing, it is not a compliment if a jerk-off like Bill Bellamy or Rich Voss hosting bothered me. Like, these are, they should know better. They should know this is a scam. So it upsets me a little bit. But anyway.
Except it's hard for them to get jobs.
I give a shit. So anyway, they go to somebody in line and they start interviewing you. You're only being made fun of.
Yep.
When I saw the people they would pick out in line, you can for the most part, sorry, read a book by its cover. Just they would pick out people that looked like jerk-offs. They always said something jerk-off every time I, who influenced you? Look at me. Who you think? Jackie Gleason. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to keep going with this guy. So he goes, yeah, okay, give us a joke. What are you going to use? And I'm not exaggerating.
Oh God, this has been ever since now. This is years ago. Has been the bane of my existence. He will not let this go. Will not let the ice. Okay, you know my morning, it's morning song? This is your morning, it's morning song, okay? Here we go.
They say, who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs in?
That was his joke.
Like, all right, well, good luck, buddy. And handshake and sign release and all this.
Yeah, and so Keith, every so often, Chemda.
Who let the dogs out?
Who let the dogs out? I'm like, mother... Shut up.
I got a question for you. Who let the dogs in?
Well, here's what you guys need to do is next time Keith says, hey, Chemda, who let the dogs out? I don't know, but I know when it was.
Morning, it's morning.
Do you know they actually go on like Craigslist now and they request crazy people to come to the line. They're like, hey, are you a wacky firefighter or a wacky chef or a wacky any job? You know, like, want to be on TV for a few seconds? And like, so they create the reality that, hey, look who's coming out to this, the wacky chef fireman. You know, like, it's crazy.
Where do they find these people?
Yeah, this is unbelievable. We gave them that costume.
Put on that dress, guy, and do some stand-up now. It's like, well, I don't really do stand-up. Why is this guy here?
Why did he bring a dress? You just handed this to me.
So we'll see what the point is. We'll see what happens to the Jersey Shore cast.
Oh, boy.
They were actually my biggest influence. I'm going to tell them that when I stand in line.
This is going to keep me up at night. I need to know if the situation...
I remember. I think it was... is one of those, whoever was, I think it was Rich Voss, whoever was in that line, and he would point people out to interview, and he looks at me and walks past me, and I'm like, good, who?
No, you know what Keith did? It was so cold. He put his hood over his eyes, and then all you could see is maybe a dot on his nose, and when that who let the dogs out person was being interviewed, we happened to be, I think he was right in front of us in line, we both just kind of like took two steps to the right, like we're sneaking off or something. We don't want to even be in the background of this. And you know what? We both kind of didn't want to be caught in line. It's almost shameful to say, because I stood in line for American Idol, and I'm very ashamed of this, because what the fuck is that, you know? But... it did very good things. Number one, I was...
Did very good things.
Well, I was very lost in my career.
You remember when she won American Idol? Did she not tell you?
I was lost. So I said, you know what? Fuck it. Let me try. Everybody keeps saying. I mean, I know I can sing. So let's see what happens here. Well, nothing happens. But what happens now...
I will say this for the record. What was the song, by the way?
We're moving on up.
It was fantastic. I can hear it from the stands. It was fantastic. Go on.
I mean, it's...
The whole, you know what? All the friends.
I'm not gonna fuck this up. It's
right.
A cappella. It's nonsense. I can do it whenever you want. It's stupid. I mean, I don't. It's not. I'm not showing off. I just know this is what I happen to be able to do. It's not genius. So, I was completely not even passed through the first round. Nothing. Maybe
I do want
to
say
wear a clown suit.
People in the audience, you know, the friends or significant others.
We're all in an auditorium, so everybody's there.
And by the way, they put the camera on us. Like, we're competing too. Like, all right. But anyway, everybody congratulated me. They're like, as you're singing. I'm like, all right, she's in. But go on.
So
tell me all the good things.
I didn't even pass through. But every time somebody hears me sing and wants to give me a compliment, they say, oh my God, you should try out for American Idol. You would be so good at them. Why haven't you tried out for American Idol? And usually I'm like, well, I really just don't think, you know, that's right. No, you don't understand. Look at this person. Look at that person. And so finally I go, yeah, I did. I didn't make it through, not even the round one. Well, it's American. You don't need American that. You know, now at least I have
it's
a response.
Bullshit anyway.
Yeah, it's bullshit anyway, all this stuff, but...
That is... It's a good thing, because now you have a way to make people feel bad.
Right. And I'm the devil.
Here's another way. You could tell them, be like, hey, that's a great idea. You're really smart. You should go on Jeopardy. Why haven't you been on Jeopardy?
And now, I mean, comics, I think, started feeling it after Last Comic Standing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're funny. You should... Oh, you're a comic? Why aren't you on Last Comic Standing?
To be fair, even before that, people would always be like, you should try to get on The Tonight Show.
Done. Well, now that you did The Tonight Show, Mike, and you have your Comedy Central special, give Last Comic Standing a second try.
You're right. You're absolutely... Well, I sincerely... Like, I wrote an essay about my last experience with it, where I talked to, like, the manager that I was with then. I was like, hey, can you get me an appointment? And she was like, I don't really think that that's a good idea. And I was like, yeah, I know, but can I get one? And so she was like, okay, because we're both professionals. And, And so I did it, and then that happened. And they did actually have to pay me, because they don't have to pay you if you're not a professional. But if you prove to them that you're a professional comedian, no matter how, for 3 seconds on the show, $1,200.
Shut up.
And I had to pay $1,300 to join the union, but it was worth it. Because I did actually have to join it for eventual, you know, future TV appearances. So it was really
that's great. That
worth
covered,
it.
That covered it.
Completely. But so this year, I have a new manager, and I was like, hey, should I try to do Last Comic Standing? And he was like, for the record, I hate the show. And but I guess the upside is, like, maybe you could win. Or they could make you look horrible, but I don't think they would. I don't think you need it. So let's talk about it.
Wow. Mm. When managers are turning it down, you know?
I mean, like, there's a lot of anti-it sentiment in, like, a lot of, you know, reasonable industry people. So...
You of course remember. So there's been 6 seasons of
there have been 6
Last Comic Standing, and of course you can quickly go through the winners. Go ahead.
There was Dat Fan. Then there was Alonzo Bowden was season 3, or John Heffron was season 2. They might have been reversed. There's Josh Blue. There's John Reap, the Ford truck guy, and Eliza Schlesinger was the 6th one.
There you go.
Wow, I only remember Dat Fan and Alfonso.
Alonzo.
Right. There we go.
Alfonso Ribeiro, actually, yeah.
Oops.
So Gray is saying, well, at least, Hemda, you got to meet Paula Abdul.
Right, of course. No,
of course
not.
Not
at all.
But which is funny, because, you know...
You're in a room full of... a room. It's an
a
arena.
Stadium.
A stadium. Yeah. And there are, I think, 20 judges, and you stand in separate lines, each of you, for different judges, so you can be like a herd of people.
Yeah.
You know what they said to me? We're looking for people with more vocal control. Suck my dick.
With a lot of vocal control. Please. Yeah. Suck my dick.
Yeah. Go fuck yourself.
You control the shit out of vocals.
Yeah, I think I can control my vocals.
But strangle them and control their vocals.
And we said this before. Watch then you die. Watch you watch American Idol, and who's on there? Pants on the ground, pants on the ground. Looking like a fool with your pants on the ground. Was better than Hemda. This guy went to... That's not...
Oh, right.
You don't get off the street and meet Simon and Paula Abdul.
You have to suck really hard.
Right. You go through 2 or 3, you know, processes, and then you meet them. Then maybe you're going to Hollywood.
You know who they took footage of? The guy who made it through the first round and did about 5 backflips back to back. They said, oh, we just missed that. Can you do it again? That guy got on. I remember. Right. You remember this guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how many backflips did you do?
I know. No, I understand. I have no control.
Do you know what the the best thing to do on this thing would be?
Not
you
go?
Could be, no. second best thing. Go, like, I wonder if you could pull this off. Like, act like a horrible act that, like, they're like, wow, you're so horrible that we need to put you on. And then when you get on, be great.
I thought of that, putting an incredibly horrendous outfit on, but pretending like I care. You know, the bow in my hair just off and,
right.
You know, pants pulled up just high and just be like, sing, sing, song. Somewhere over the way up. And then they go, perfect. You may now see Paula Abdul.
Would you be able to control yourself? Would you go, you motherfuckers?
Yes, I would. Yes, okay. I absolutely would be able to control myself.
Okay, so as long as they're not listening, then you can do it.
Okay. But when you see American Idol, you see Paula and Simon and whoever in that room, and somebody sings horrible, and they go, oh my God, who told you you can sing? 3 different rooms and 17 different judges from you said I have what it takes and never give up.
Well, that's what happened with me in Last Comic Standing. The first round, I saw like 2 producers who were not the people on camera. I did my 2 minutes of material as planned. They laughed at it appropriately and were like, hey, come back in the afternoon, see these the celebrity judges. And I was like, great, I will do that. And I came back and did the exact same thing, but got cut off 5 seconds in. And like, whoa, we didn't know. Even the best thing was like, but when I came into the room, like I was like, you know, not the first person. I was like the 5th person in line in the afternoon. They're like, one of them's like reading a book. And like the other one's like doing something else, and they're like, "Oh, hello!" Like, "Oh, I didn't even know that we were gonna have another audition right now." Like, "I guess go ahead." And I was like, "Baby, like babies."
Wow.
I wonder if I'd lose. Like, hey, I don't like stuff about babies. You gotta leave. I'm not done. Let me tell you what I do to these fucking babies. It's like, this isn't funny. It's not meant to be funny. How would that be funny?
I'm shocked that you think it would be funny.
Anyways, don't ask me to do chores, because I get fucking dangerous.
I put a baby in the dishwasher. That's where this got started.
A Brooklyn man got $5 million put into his bank.
Me?
No, you're open. Let me check.
I live there.
No, they already know who the guy is.
Damn it.
Yeah, they already know. A Brooklyn man got millions of dollars for doing nothing, and he says it nearly ruined him. Benjamin Lavelle was sentenced to probation yesterday for failing to return $5 million that landed in his account because of a bank goof. Whoops.
Yeah.
Oops. But he says he definitely did not get off easy. Now, first off, before I read more of the story, you find $5 million in your bank. You know they're going to catch it.
Yeah.
Do you skip town?
No.
They probably would catch you even if you did that. You have to be real savvy.
Yeah, I'm not good at skipping town. I don't think you are either.
I like town.
Yeah.
I don't want to skip it.
I don't want to skip this one.
Could you give up America if it's that easy for $5 million?
No.
$5 million is, I mean, you could live on $5 million in the right place for the rest of your life. But
you can live on $1 million for the rest of your life.
You'd have
in
to
many
be
places.
In that place.
Yeah, but okay, how about this? If we move from New York to like somewhere in middle America in the middle of nowhere, and our rent is $400 together, and we work out of, at the end, we technically can work wherever we want. How come we're not there? We would be making the same amount of money for more. You're not moving to Idaho, but you're going to Mexico now.
I hear what she's saying.
Well, there's a lot more guests in Mexico than there are in Idaho.
Lavelle.
Yeah, and then you continue doing your show. But I skipped town.
Knock, knock. How'd you find me?
I skipped New York. Yeah.
Today we're interviewing Detective Brown from the New York Police Department.
He seems very interested in our show and us.
Yeah, I flew him in first class, so he should be comfortable.
Then we shot him. Okay, but we skipped down. There's no laws here.
All right, we got to pack up again. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
But that is horrible. Like if they like money appears in your account and you're like, well, I didn't do it.
You just go, somebody died. Yeah.
That's how inheritance works, right? Grandma hasn't called me in a while,
right?
That would be like him would go, no, we can't do this. We got to call the bank. And you're like, well, say somebody dies. How can you get in trouble if you think somebody died?
Right? I mean, if I found $5 million in our account, I wouldn't even talk to you. I'd just go to the bank and give it back.
That guy, Duel, he died, right? Didn't he put us in his will? I bet it was $5 million. Done. Solved. I'll say that.
Should go back and be like, is there a reward for being honest? Do I get $1 million? Eh?
Can I just keep the interest?
Yeah, please. You guys screwed up.
Lavelle, who insists the amount was closer to $2 million...
Okay. Right.
He spent $3 million.
Well, no way to tell.
He said
it was two and five are backwards digitally, so they didn't know if they were looking in a mirror.
He said he lost his job, his home, and even contemplated suicide at one point as he faced 25 years for larceny.
Did he use the money?
It's been a long, long ride, said the former National Grid salesman.
Did he go, I really worked hard today?
When
this
first
is a nice reflection
it's
of
a bonus,
it.
Christmas bonus. When this first happened, I thought it was a joke. I was pinching myself. Oh, hilarious.
Because that's when you pinch yourself to be like, is this a joke? Am I joking?
Is the bank joking?
Ouch, yeah.
They're usually so funny when I go there.
Yeah, I tried pinching the bank. It didn't do anything.
Oh, Commerce Bank, fuck you. I went back an hour later. It's still there. The 50-year-old Lavelle said he tried to give the money back to the Commerce Bank in Wilmington, Delaware, after it sent the money to the account of the wrong Benjamin Lavelle in early 2008. So just a different guy's name at the same bank. Not even necessarily the same branch, you know?
That's why it's nice to have a name like Henda.
Mm-hmm. Huh? To make sure you don't get money by accident. Prosecutor said he didn't try hard enough. The Bed-Stuy man last month pleaded guilty to lesser charge in Brooklyn Supreme Court and said he paid what restitution he could. The bank still has a lawsuit against him. I tried four times to give it back, he said. I met with bank executives 10 times.
I showed up to a bank and I was just like talking to the wall. I was like, do you want this? Come on.
How about you, pens? No lollipops? Yeah. Nobody wants it.
I'm talking to the machine. I'm like, you robots should know what you're doing by now, right?
Prosecutors declined to comment, but earlier said Lavelle spent $500,000 on an investment firm that went belly up, $8,000 on jewelry for his girlfriend, $36,000 on dental implants, $5,000 on vitamins and colonics. Whoa, $5,000?
Dental implants?
All of this.
You should see this guy's teeth.
And diamonds. And $10,000 on cash gifts to family and friends.
Something tells me he had a list of things to do just in case he ever found $5 million in his account.
Well, how long did he have it for?
You know what? It didn't say. But he sounds like he got busy right away, but it didn't say.
See, this is dumb. This is just dumb. And if... This is... $5 million in your account. Well, I tried. Now I'm going to spend $2 million.
It's like the five-minute rule for college. Like, oh, the teacher's not here in 5 minutes. I guess there's no class today. $5 million in the bank account. Nobody came to get it in 5 minutes. I guess it's my money.
A co-defendant involved with the investment firm, Derek Williams, 49, also received probation after pleading guilty. Lavelle admitted spending about $400,000, but would say only that he fixed his teeth, bought some video games for his nephew, and helped out a friend in need with the money. $400,000, what'd he do? Hmm. He hired Super Mario to be in the house and do the game live. I'm not a flashy dude, he said. My whole thing is family and community and friends, and that's it. And my girlfriend and...
Teeth bling.
Teeth, right.
Station from listening from his iPhone. Doesn't Monopoly have a, quote, bank error in your favor card?
Yeah,
I would have taken that to trial.
If I have the... Yeah, you have the bank error card, you go, I'll take my $50. You don't hold it all game to see if it's good.
Yeah.
He is an idiot for using it. I mean, it's not fair that he's being sued, but it is after you start using it.
I mean, the best thing he could have done was actually make money off of it, you know, but like for a little while, then here's your $5 million and you have, you know, another million. Even just put it in his account, leave it in his account for a month.
Right.
What's the interest on $5 million's gotta be good.
You know what? Take it out. I would take it out, put it in another account.
Yeah, because whatever interest accrues is from that bank, they're going to keep that. But if you put if you put $5 million in the other bank for a month, and then they go, hey, remember that $5 million? Oh, you want it back? Here it is.
Yes, I
do. No problem. And that's it. And then you already accrued interest. But to be honest, I wouldn't even do that. I would just leave it until they count up their money and figure it out.
Well, I'm telling you right now, I'm doing it.
All right.
Can't be clearer.
I will help. I will put $5 million in your account.
Thank you, buddy.
I'm going to tell them to put it in a different Keith Malley account and hope that they put it in yours.
There's a Keith Malley out there and your life's going good.
Anybody making $5 million transfers?
Do you remember some time ago, some lady was carrying a Picasso painting in a...
Down the block?
Nancy Kerrigan?
In a museum and ended up tripping and like hit the Picasso into something and put a little hole in it. Well, now they realize by doing that, the Picasso valued at $130 million lost half of its value, lost $65 million because they have to restore it.
You would figure something that's worth over $100 million might be carried by more than one person in heels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'll just take it. Women can do things too.
You want me to carry that?
I'm just going down the street.
I can carry that for you.
You would say that.
Because men don't ever drop things.
A woman who lost her balance and tore a hole in a Pablo Picasso painting at the Metropolitan Museum of Art likely cut the $130 million painting's value in half, top appraisers are saying. Conservators say that they will be able to fix the 6-inch tear in The Actor. But appraiser Gerard Van Weinenberg said the painting may never recover its value.
Well, I could finally afford it.
It's a 50% loss in the value, at least. People are saying, when an artwork comes up in auction, that's the first thing people want to know. Were there any repaints or restorations? By the way, it's not a very good painting. I don't see. I look at this. I don't see 65 million.
Are the eyes on the same side of the head?
This wasn't his best work. It looks normal.
That looks like a person. I don't believe that's Picasso.
I don't like it. Even a small hole in Picasso collectors like Steven Spielberg are not going to be interested. Oh, didn't know that about him. Museum officials would not identify the woman who fell into the painting, but they said conservators will have it ready for the museum's Picasso exhibition later this year.
Whew. Does she have to pay anything?
She has to repaint it. I'd make her repaint it and I'd buy that. $100. Man. They should have her picture right by it.
That's crazy. Where does that money go? I don't understand economics at all.
Right.
This is worth $130 million. Beep. Up. Now it's worth $65 million. Well, that's no deal.
Oh, man. That's dumb. This is a dumb fucking painting. Pass that around. That's just silly. That's just dumb. It really is like stock. Like people are telling you it's worth something.
It looks like Plastic Man.
Yes. I don't like it.
Oh, it looks like he tried to do a cartoon and then say, I'm going to switch up a little bit.
A picture you started drawing like that in art class. You'd be getting Fs across the board.
In other classes.
Right.
You get an F in math because of this.
Oh, my Lord. No, thank you. Who's your favorite artist?
Oh, I don't have one.
Good for you. There's no reason.
Yeah, I'm more of an audio guy.
Who's your favorite audio?
You guys.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, perfect. That was so sincere.
Perfect. So what's going on? Where can people see you live, Mike Kaplan?
Oh, that's a good question.
Thank you.
Coming up in New York City in February 26th.
You're not going to do baby punching material, are you?
Never again.
I learned my lesson.
Yeah, he taught you a thing or two about
comedy.
I
know how to survive in this industry now. Okay. It's a ruthless business. February 26th at the Bleecker Street Theater, Punchline Magazine presents an evening with Mike Kaplan.
An evening?
And that's what. Yeah, it's fancy. It's an evening.
Is it your show?
Yeah, it's just me for an hour, and there might be an opener, and I'll let you guys know more about that.
That's huge. Are you taping it for any reason? Is this a showcase thing?
It's, Punchline Magazine, and the guy who runs it, Dylan Godino, he wrote a very nice write-up about me in Punchline at the beginning of the year, said 2010 comics to watch, number one, Mike Kaplan. He had a great year last year, so see what happens this year. And
I'm seeing you on a lot of lists. You go to MikeKaplan.com also, you can see different times when the TV shows are talking about him. I remember one morning show was funny because I guess they had Dustin Diamond,
yeah,
the jerk off from Head of the Class,
Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. Saved by the Bell is doing stand up, and I assume he's horrible because I see him on these reality shows. There's nothing funny about him, he's just a jerk off. So anyway,
he's in the wrong reality
they
show.
They go, so I went to, was it Caroline's?
It was at Caroline's.
I went to Caroline's to see, you know, Dustin Diamond, who was on our show. What was that, like Fox and Friends or something like that?
It was something morning show.
All right. So one of those Java shows. So, you know, I went there to see him, and he was okay. But let me tell you about this other guy, Mike Kaplan. And this guy, you know, he ruins them all, but tries to tell all Mike's jokes. And it's for like 10 minutes, it seems like. He's just going on and on about Mike Kaplan and never mind this original guy.
That's awesome.
Then he's like, well, how about Dustin Diamond? Yeah, he was okay. But listen to this. He comes out, this Mike Kaplan, and says, let's have another applause for me at the end. Great. That's great.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, there's only one person there with him, and she's like, yeah, that seems good. And he's like, it's better with an audience, you know. Maybe I'm doing it wrong. You can go to my website, MikeKaplan.com, MYQ Kaplan, and see all kinds of people saying things about me, including myself and others. And
Your CD's there.
It's a CD available for pre-order right now. It'll be officially out, I believe now we say in April, because that's when my Comedy Central half hour will air. So if you ordered it already, thank you, and you can keep ordering it and waiting until April when they exist in physical and iTunes.
Have you heard it?
Form. Yes, I heard it, I okayed it, and I was there when I made it also, so I know how it went.
We were there too.
Yeah, you guys were.
It was very, very good.
Yeah. You can't tell. When people listen to the CD, Are they going to know that I ate too fast and then go to the bathroom really close to the beginning?
They'll only know it because I put it in the liner
notes. Ah, Mike!
But yeah, so that's happening in the coming months. This weekend, I'll be in New England. If you're in Maine on Saturday, email me and I'll tell you exactly. It's like at the Fireside Inn in Auburn, Maine. And Friday, I'll be at the Comedy Studio, Boston Ooh. University, and Improv Boston.
Oh.
So... come to a place.
Do they put you up when you go to Boston? Or?
But when I go to Boston, I usually just say I'll crash with a friend. But in Maine, I'll be at a hotel that they put me in.
Are you just doing them a favor and saving them money? Because it's usually the comedy club that puts up the comedians, right? Are you just...
Well, when I go... The clubs in Boston, not all of them do put up people because they, a lot of the time, just use local people.
So you're sort of riding the I'm local still and...
And this is for... And the Boston University is, like, the main reason I'm going there. So, and sometimes colleges do put you up, but sometimes they just give you, like, an all-inclusive fee and say, like, hey, find your own transportation slash hotel, or sometimes, yeah.
Oh, so you're saving on that by staying at a friend's house and buying them dinner, and then it equals out anyway.
I'm being told, by the way, about that Picasso painting. That the woman who ruined it was in art class. Why? Carter is saying, why would they let any students anywhere near a Picasso?
Why would they let anyone near a Picasso?
Why? I don't even know. I don't even like it in museums.
I can't even breathe on it.
When the Picasso's in a museum, to me, it's like a caged animal.
I think she, like a caged tiger, she's really interested.
I think they should give this Picasso to Haiti.
It'll help them.
Hang it up.
$65 million.
And go here, $65 million minimum.
Jesus Christ.
See what you can do. Don't put any more holes in it, though. Don't. That'll make it 32 Although, and a half yeah, and 16.
You might still be able to live.
We should give him like three pretentious paintings. And you go, I don't know about here, but in America, that's about $2 billion we just gave you. Good luck.
That lady was probably just, she's an art student. She's probably just trying to comparatively raise the rate of her own paintings.
Ah, it's a plan. You know what? You definitely get an F if you do that. It'd be like, if I'm in English class and I ripped up the original works of Shakespeare, I'm probably not going to pass that class. That's the same thing.
But you'll be very well known amongst the Shakespearean clan.
Done.
And that's worth it.
Oh, yeah, I bet she gets booed in museums. You know,
but that's why they don't release her name, because they're hardcore.
Yeah,
those
she
fans.
Knows what'll happen. They paint the shit out of her and rip it up.
Are you the one that ruined our art? Oh my goodness, I'm about to pummel you. You are the one who put the hole in the Picasso.
I'll put a similar hole in you.
Oh my goodness.
Pip pip.
I'm going to make you bleed now.
That's what I sounded like in that King Arthur sketch.
Yeah. King Arthur.
Mm-hmm. By the way, let me mention this. We have a book coming out, Mike.
I heard about that. I'm going to pre-order it.
I hope so.
Yeah.
What's taking so long?
I wanted to check and find out and make sure in person with you guys that would be the thing to do.
You may do that.
I checked with Clemda before the show, but now I got it from you on the show officially. Done. So pre-order it.
It's called What Do We Do Now? It's our relationship book.
It's a funny relationship book.
It
keeps with the funny theme that we're doing here.
Oh, you guys do something funny?
Yeah.
Here and again.
The answer to What Do We Do Now is pre-order the book, right? Am I... that why?
So it comes out March 9th, but now you save like over a third of the price. That's perfectly fine with us.
I really appreciate that it's paperback immediately.
I don't got time to mess around, because you know what? You get the hardcover books, and you're like, should I wait until the bonus material and the paperback? No, this is the paperback, and this is it.
The deleted scenes and the bloopers.
Yeah. You don't got to buy a new book later. You might. Who knows if we're pulling that scam business later. But right now, I know it's paperback. Is it done?
That'd be funny to release a new version of it with like all different answers. Be like, we were wrong.
Right. We looked into it.
Second time through, sober.
It comes out March 9th. I know February, I just read this, is the month that most relationships end. And I wonder if it has anything to do with Valentine's Day.
Yeah, you're about to spend like... $100, $500. Let's just do it. How about the people who go, it's getting close to Valentine's Day. Should I just stay with this person because it's mean? Well, if you stay with this person because it's mean, next month is her birthday. The month after that, it's her parents' anniversary, and you already said you'd go to that, and you already got your tie, and you're never going to break up with someone.
That happened to me. I feel like November then or December should be similar because like Christmas and like,
right,
you know,
yeah,
those kinds of presents. Because I was with a girl.
Then there's Memorial Day.
Yeah, you don't want to. There's something. You got to break up with people in August. There's no holidays in August. And there's like Labor Day coming up, but who cares? You know, whatever. But I was dating this girl, and it was like around December that I realized I was like, oh, I should not be with this girl. But then I had just found her like a great Christmas present. And I was like, she'll really want these pajamas because she's been looking for them everywhere. And I was like, I will not break up with her before then. But I felt bad about it. But then like we spent New Year's together. And then her birthday was January 8th. And then so then weekend after January 8th, the end.
Really? Did you really wait that long?
I did.
Was it worth it? Were you handling it? Are you still sleeping with her? Can you look her in the face? You don't like her anymore. How are your conversations going?
Yeah, sleeping with her was still fine. And no, I actually do remember, I think on New Year's or like one of the vacation holiday type things, like we were getting physical and then like somebody knocked over like a coffee and I was like, oh, we can't do it now. I don't want to, there's coffee spilled, ruin the mood. But no, yeah, it was bad. And then she told me like a couple weeks after we broke up that she was pregnant. So we sort of got back together and she wasn't, I don't think, or she conveniently wasn't eventually.
But can you really stay with somebody just because they're pregnant?
I mean, I was just...
How did that work out?
I wasn't specifically, like, you know, we weren't, like, together, but I was just, like, you know, helping her figure out what to do with our potential child.
Wow. So what, did she eventually say, oops, I lost a baby?
Sincerely, like, she was Catholic, and so she was, like, conflicted about what to do, but not too conflicted because she was like, I'd rather live a life, and...
Not too conflicted because she kept going to the batting cages with me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and we also did have sex, and we were not married. So she didn't go for all the rules, just the, you know, whatever convenient ones. But
the non-conflicting ones.
Yeah. You know, she thought about what would be a good thing to do, and she did it, and then justified whatever she wanted to. So she made a date to go to, like, Planned Parenthood or wherever to get things done, and then the day before that, she called me and told me that she fell down the stairs. Like, legitimately,
bullshit.
That's what she told me.
Oh, oh wow. God.
And I was like, I believe people when they tell me things. Like, but I mean, in hindsight, you know, every
did
person
did you already
I,
give her the money for
I did
the procedure?
Not. I did not.
You don't have to pay half of falling downstairs.
Yeah. How much did it, I'll fall down half a flight of stairs. How about that?
I bet there are millions of guys who are dishing out money for fake abortions.
I bet.
Yeah. Because, I mean, $500 to make this thing go away,
hey,
yes.
But if that guy finds out that you spent that money, then you could go to jail.
Right.
If it's like a $5 million abortion. I didn't realize, you know, I didn't know that people were potentially untrustworthy at the time. Like, I'd always had, you know, good, I'm like, I'm a good person. People right. are good people. I'm around good people, you know, people. But like the summer before, she'd been in France and I was like at, you know, working at this camp in Connecticut. And there was a time when she like was upset at me because she's like, hey, I accidentally went into your email. I just wanted to go in to make sure, cause you hadn't written me back. So I just wanted to go in and make sure that you had gotten the email that I sent you. Cause I know your password cause you're trusting. and then I accidentally, cause these French keyboards are really weird. So I accidentally opened up this other email that, turned out to say, love this other girl who just, you say is a friend of yours, but I don't know anybody who uses the word love with their friends at the end of an email. So I'm really mad.
Like meaning love, comma, Mike.
That is correct.
Yikes.
So that was like the beginning of my being like, maybe I'm not like this girl was wrong for me almost ever across
almost
the board.
2 years before we started dating.
Exactly. Yeah. I shouldn't have she voted for George Bush. It was crazy. It was but we both enjoyed doing crossword puzzles and like going to brunch, so it was fine.
Oh my goodness.
You know
well,
what I mean?
You guys should be best girlfriends.
It was cozy. Hey, I'm a boy.
Somebody says, you know, I'm pregnant, I need money for I'm willing to get an abortion. And you want that to happen, but you're not sure you trust her, that she's even pregnant. What can you do?
What can
I'd
you
like
do?
To, I'd like go to go
with her.
The doctor
pay
with
the doctor.
You.
Go
yeah.
to the doctor. I want to support you. Yeah. Let's go to the doctor together. And you know what? If you have to call the doctor ahead of time and say, this is why I'm coming to the doctor with this bitch, you know?
She goes, no, I want to go by myself.
What?
I want to go by myself.
I really would like to go.
I'm
and
sorry.
You know what?
This is heartbreaking.
This
is as
my
it is.
Murder too.
Right.
Then you know what? You don't trust that person. You're not going to be with her. Pee on a stick. Let's just fucking move it.
And then she gets mad and teaches you a lesson by having the baby in your life. You know what? Here's $400.
I'll call your baby bluff right here. Yeah. That's like, do you guys hear there's a new like male pill possible coming out?
There's
like,
been that for years and years.
Years.
Possible.
Right. No, but I mean like the technology almost exists. But even when it exists, like who, I wouldn't, if I were a girl, I would not trust, like, because the repercussions are on you completely.
Right.
Like,
I don't know how guys trust women.
I know what you're saying, but maybe because I'm a guy. As a woman, I would trust a guy more than as a guy, I would trust a woman.
I agree with that.
Guys don't want these babies.
Not as
women
much as
might.
Women do.
Right.
Not as much as women do. But I wouldn't trust. I don't know how guys trust, except for you know, I've really only been on the pill with you. And
that's sweet.
And it's like,
not with what? Me? No? Okay.
Wait a minute. Or it's not sweet.
Hold on.
So it's, I mean, I tried the shot one time.
You're the only person that I definitely didn't want anything to happen with.
Okay, I swallowed a pair of scissors with you.
Of all the people, people I don't even know their names, and I'd be like, this is fine. I could be half this person, half me. I don't trust this.
So, but I get why you would trust me. We're already in a relationship. You know, I would trust a guy like that. But at the same time, I would just, you know what? I'll take the pill too. How about both of us take the pill?
There you go.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, I guess it's for like if women like would, you know, hormonally react bad. Like in a situation, I would never want to just be like if a woman with a guy who and the only thing that they were doing was taking the pill. Be like,
I think it's more for men who maybe are sleeping around. The not trusting thing is, okay,
yeah, that makes
I'm
sense.
Definitely not going to get this woman pregnant
oh, yeah,
that
she
I'm
can do
never going to see
yeah.
again.
You ever been with a girl and she says, it's okay, you can come inside me, I'm on the pill, and you go, can I just see him?
I knew this guy who was living with this woman, and she decided to get on the pill, and he says, I feed her that pill every morning because I don't trust her. And I go, but you live with her. That's
wow.
interesting. You just moved in with each other.
I put it in her mouth.
Yeah.
I make her swallow. Then I look in with a flashlight. I have her lift her tongue up, make sure she's not hiding it anywhere.
That's weird, right?
I would take the pill. Henda would take the pill. If we ended up with a baby after that somehow, it should be king.
King of queens.
All right, we're going to get out of here. Mike Kaplan, thank you very much.
You're welcome very much, and thank you.
And I'm telling you, get the CD and see him live whenever you can. He's fantastic. And the Twitter, of course, at Mike Kaplan, is good also.
Thank you. I've been getting a bunch of stuff. You've been helpful and other...
Like, I love your Twitters.
Thank you.
Love your Twitters. See, my Twitters are motherfucking errands. I can't believe this. Your Twitters are
why can't
gems.
I go to bed?
Your Twitters are actually thoughtful. You're thinking about the other person. I'm thinking about me. And I'm thinking, God damn it, I lost in poker again.
And everyone will know.
Yes.
I feel bad, you'll feel bad.
I said this before, Mike Kaplan's Twitters are George Carlin at its best.
Mm-hmm.
Very, the 140 characters is you, my friend.
Yes,
I'm the 140 character Carolyn. I'll put that on my book when it comes out. My book of 140 characters only.
Hey.
Now that's a book I can read.
Why not?
Hey, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks a lot. KeithandTheGirl.com